Hello, Liz here, just quickly jumping into the episode today to share something I am so excited about and something that's potentially transformational with you today. If you're feeling curious about going plant-based, or maybe you're just wanting to eat a predominantly plant-based diet but still keep some of your favorite animal products in the mix, or maybe if you're already vegan or you're new to being plant-based but you just don't feel like you're thriving, well, I have got some great news for you. I have teamed up with my friend, accredited nutritionist, Naturally Nina, to create a free online training going through the three things you must know to thrive on a plant-based diet. Nina and I have created this training specifically for people who are just like we were when we first went plant-based. We were wanting to not only meet our nutritional needs on a plant-based diet, but to feel energized and like we were thriving. But we were a bit overwhelmed and confused and unsure where to get trustworthy plant-based nutrition info from. And we also wanted to know how to make our own delicious balanced meal plans that were inspiring and fresh and actually kept us feeling full. But we were unsure of the step-by-step process of how to get to this amazing place with our diets. So if this sounds like you too, you are going to want to watch the training, and be sure to stay until the end because we'll be sharing a super exclusive promo price into our new course, Thriving on a Plant-Based Diet. Plus, we'll have some amazing bonuses to get you inspired, but these are only available for a limited time, so make sure to watch the training ASAP. The link is in the show notes. Welcome to Thrive Diaries, the podcast for busy people who want to live their best life. I'm your host, Liz Douglas, former food buyer turned plant-based foodie influencer who is obsessed with personal growth and wellness. Thank you for being here, and let's get into today's episode. Hello, it's Liz. I wanted to do an episode today on something that's been on my mind for pretty much the past couple of months since I had Ollie, my newborn baby. I have been using food as a big crutch lately in my life, like a bit of an emotional crutch, I should say. I've been doing way more emotional eating than I normally would have, certainly much more so than before I had Ollie, just because not because I'm unhappy, but just because like I'm tired and we often get interrupted now that we have a baby. So watching a movie or getting really engrossed in a show or a book is often just not fully possible because at any moment, you know, Ollie could cry or he might need a feed. And with a newborn baby as well, you're on this like 3 hour cycle where they have to eat every 3 hours and it takes a full hour for them to actually feed. And then by the time you've changed them and put them back to bed, you may only have like an hour and a half to actually sleep, eat, shower, do all of the things you need to do in a day before that cycle repeats itself. And there's this sense of like urgency all the time and a little bit of not being on edge, but by the time you catch your breath from one feed, you're almost going into the next one. And I haven't really been prioritizing my health as much as I would like. I haven't been exercising because postpartum, you're not supposed to exercise really for 6 weeks. Even light exercise like walking is really only for mental health at this point. And then after that 6 week mark, depending on your pelvic floor, depending on, you know, what type of birth you had as well. If you had a cesarean, that's obviously going to look very different to if you had a vaginal birth. I personally had a vaginal birth, but it was with vacuum. So that has had an impact on my pelvic floor. And it's only now that I'm at the 9 week mark that I'm looking at going back to postnatal Pilates classes, and I'm doing light walks. And that has also thrown me a little bit because exercise was a way that I would keep my health, I suppose, in balance, how I would regulate my emotions, how I would get better sleep at night. And not having that has definitely made me feel a bit more lethargic on top of the sleep deprivation from having a baby. And then it's sort of this vicious cycle where I'm not feeling my best, quite tired, don't have a lot of time, and it's very easy to just reach for chocolate as a source of like pleasure and comfort and familiarity. And as a result, I'm not feeling my best. I would say we're eating reasonably healthy main meals. However, probably overdoing it on the carbs. You know, what am I saying? Probably definitely overdoing it on the carbs, quick food, food that I can eat one-handed while I'm holding a baby. So a lot of toast for breakfast. I'm often just eating Weet-Bix. I'm not even bothering really to cut up like any banana or fruit or get some yogurt on there. And it's starting to catch up with me. I'm not feeling my best. Steve is a little bit in the same boat as well. And for me in particular, because I'm breastfeeding, I'm making sure that I am supplementing and getting all of the micronutrients that I need in order to make sure that my body's not being stripped of what it needs, because your body will prioritize prioritize the baby's nutrition and wellness over you. So it's really important as a breastfeeding mum to make sure you're getting enough calcium in particular, because otherwise it will draw from your bones, which is not good at all. But anyway, I digress. I am making sure that I'm supplementing to get everything that I need and eating as healthy as we can at dinner and kind of eating leftover frozen meals for lunch. So having like lots of curries, things that can be frozen easily. We are eating probably more mock meats and convenience foods than we might have done before. But in general, not feeling like I am that on top of my nutrition at the moment, not feeling like it is serving me as well as it could be. And so I thought I would just be totally open with you guys, because I know better than what I'm doing right now. And I wanted to share a little bit about how I'm going to get myself back on track and using the information that I have learned from Naturally Nina, who's an amazing nutritionist who's been on the podcast a bunch of times. And we have done a course together called Thriving on a Plant-Based Diet. So if you do want to learn more, you can check that out. There'll be a link in the show notes. But Nina has taught me so much about creating balanced meals, developing meal plans. And I had this moment the other day where I was like, you know what? You have all of this knowledge. I know that you are tired. Like, I'm talking to myself in this moment. But I am the only person who can take responsibility for my health, for how I feel. And I'm the only person who can really drive, you know, eating better and feeling my best as much as I can with this sleep deprivation, with having a baby. So I'm going to share in this episode what I'm going to do to get my nutrition back on track, how I approach meal planning, some different ideas for you that might be useful if you too are like time poor. Maybe you're a new parent, maybe you're really busy at work, maybe you're just trying to squeeze a lot into your day between gym and commuting, friends and family and social life stuff. So I think this information is going to be really useful. All right, so to get started, before you begin making a meal plan, I think it's really important to consider your energy requirements and also your lifestyle. So for me at the moment, as I said, I have a newborn baby. I've got a really limited amount of time on my hands, and I need foods that I can eat safely while holding a baby. So often I need food that is either going to taste good lukewarm. I don't really want anything that is super hot. I need foods that I can eat one-handed. Ideally things that I can batch make and then just reheat really easily in the microwave, or things that I can eat cold, as I said. So if you are super busy and say you're working in an office all day, you're going to want foods that are going to hold up quite well in the office, or maybe you're going to want to think about having meals with sauces that are kept separate to your main dish. Like, for example, a salad dressing should be kept separate to the salad itself to retain the texture. Or maybe if you are making a soup, but you don't want to carry all of this weight of like a soup in a heavy jar in your bag, you could maybe try the healthy instant noodle trend, where you only have dry ingredients in a jar with some veggies, and then you add boiling water at the office, stuff like that. So we want to consider lifestyle factors and be realistic about what we are going to need and also what we can achieve day to day. So I need to be able to have food ready to go that can be microwaved or eaten cold one-handed. Boiling water for me, not an option. So I'm probably not going to be doing too many instant noodle soups, but you get the idea. So the other aspect also very important to consider is your life stage, your gender, height, current weight, energy requirements, how active you are. Are you working in a sedentary role? Are you working in an active role? Are you training at the gym? Do you have any fitness goals that you are actively exercising or training towards? So for me, I'm not exercising at the moment. I'm pretty sedentary. However, I am breastfeeding, which means I have a much higher micronutrient requirement for particular micronutrients like iodine as well as iron. There's a bunch of other ones as well. But yeah, that also means I have a higher energy requirement too. However, I am sedentary. Now, you can use an app, something like Chronometer, if you want to get a rough estimate of your calorie intake for the day. However, it's really important to keep in mind that those estimates, particularly for active females, are often really below what they actually need to be. So please don't take those too seriously. If you want a customized calorie recommendation or like a more detailed intake plan, then I would recommend speaking to a nutritionist. But the apps can be a really useful guide if you're just wanting to get a sense of what you are eating, or rather the macronutrients that the meals you make regularly contain. And if you're not feeling triggered around the numbers behind food, then they're also useful. I would just caution if you've had an eating disorder, or maybe you've had disordered eating patterns recently or in the past, where you feel you might be triggered by reviewing calories and numbers around food, then know thyself and avoid these apps, because it can be quite triggering, I suppose. I'm personally in quite a good place with food at the moment. I have dieted in the past and I have struggled with that a little bit in the past, but I'm feeling quite matter of fact around my food at the moment. I'm aware of when I'm, you know, eating for comfort, not for nourishment. And of course there is a place for that too, don't get me wrong. But I guess my point is that I'm feeling in a place where I can manage that. So personally for me, I'm going to be using Chronometer just as a way to monitor what I'm eating, get an understanding of how much protein, carbs, fats I'm getting out of each meal. And I think it'll be a really useful tool just to initially help me reset. So once you've established these two requirements, your lifestyle requirements and also your energy requirements for your life stage and all those other factors that we talked about, then you want to think about meals that you actually really enjoy and are excited by and that still fit into those requirements. So for me, it's things that I can make in advance that are going to be really filling, nutrient dense, but taste amazing. So I love, for example, for breakfast, a chia pudding mousse, which kind of tastes like a chocolate mousse, but it's actually full of chia seeds, soy milk, protein powder. It's absolutely delicious. Can make it in advance for the whole week. I love things like really warming veggie loaded soups with some protein from either lentils or legumes. I love curries, Thai-inspired ones, Indian-inspired flavors, anything that's going to be really easy to microwave with some rice. Tofu is another great one. I love to make like a tofu schnitzel and have that in the freezer ready to go and pan fry. It's quite quick to whip up, but it still has that crunchy texture if you fry it fresh rather than pre-frying and freezing and thawing in the microwave. But anyway, have a think about the kinds of meals that you enjoy and then write them all down as a list and pick a few that you want to try for that week. I would start with, say, one or two breakfast ideas. Generally speaking, most people are quite happy to eat the same thing every day for breakfast. We don't really crave variety at this time of day. It's more functional. It's like, you know, get up and go, quickly get something in you that's going to keep you full and get your day started and give you enough energy rather to get your day started and keep you going until lunch. Then lunches and dinners is where you're probably going to crave a little bit more variety. And there's a few different ways that you can go about the meal prepping aspect of this. You can either ingredient prep or you can meal prep. And this is going to depend on your lifestyle requirements. For me right now, I want to have meals that are like self-contained in an individual serving size, ready to go in the microwave, because I just don't have the time to build things at the moment necessarily. But if you do have a little bit more time and you want to, say, just ingredient prep and then cook fresh on the actual day, that can be a great way to keep the flavors mixed up throughout the week. So let me give you an example of what I'm trying to say here. If you say you've written down all of the meals that you want to try for lunch and dinner, and maybe you've got three or four different ones that you want to do throughout the week, have a look at those and see which ingredients are required for those meals and what you can prepare in advance. That could be, oh, on the Sunday, you're not necessarily making all of those meals in advance, but you are chopping up your onions, you're mincing all of the garlic that you need. You might be portioning out the ingredients for the meals so that on the night that you want to cook them, it's all there ready to go. And if you're somebody who loves like crunchy textures and really fresh, freshly cooked meals, like, because I know some people really can't stand that whole like microwave meal. Personally, it doesn't bother me, but if you are that person, this can be a great way to save time throughout the week, because you have messed up the kitchen on your Sunday. You know what I mean? You've invested a bit of time in the prep, and it's just going to make that cooking process during the week much more enjoyable. You can have a little wine, unwind, chat to your partner, and it's less mundane. You've already done a bulk of the work by prepping all of those veggies and stuff. And it also could even be say you want to roast veggies for one dinner throughout the week. Maybe you have parboiled some of your potatoes. They're already peeled or chopped up. If you're wanting to do like a mash later in the week, things like that can save you an enormous amount of time on the actual night, so that when you get home at the end of a long day, you're not walking in the door being like, oh my God, I'm just going to order Uber Eats because I can't be fucked like cooking for an hour and a half. And it could save you potentially 45 minutes or something off the cook time of your meal. So that ingredient prepping is one way to do it. Or as I said, you could just bulk cook some of these meals and then you can either leave them in a pot in the fridge. And if you are working from home, then of course it's super easy to just self-serve throughout the day. Or if you're like me and you're just really time poor and you want something that is totally easy and idiot-proof, basically, then you can pre-portion out all of your meals. It's also a good way if you are trying to do any sort of portion tracking to keep track of how much you are eating as well, if you do want to allocate it into individual sized Tupperware containers. Now, some of the benefits of meal prepping and meal planning like this, beyond obviously the fact that you're likely going to eat much healthier because you've already mentally decided on what you're going to eat for that week. But it's actually way easier to build a shopping list. You can do a click and collect order because you already know what you're going to be cooking that week. You will have the ingredients that you need on hand if you've already decided what you were going to be eating. You've already bought all the stuff. It can even reduce food waste too, because if you are anything like me and you've walked into a supermarket when you're hungry and it's like a Sunday afternoon and you're like, fuck, I need to buy some stuff for the week, and you just go and buy a bunch of random vegetables and then you're like looking at them rotting in the bottom of your fridge at the end of the week, or, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks later, and you're like, oh my God, I like am so annoyed at myself because food is so expensive at the moment as well with inflation. And also it's not great for the environment. It doesn't make you feel good. And so if you've had a plan in mind, then you're only going to be buying from your plan. And if you've done a click and collect order as well with your supermarket, if they allow that, or if you get your food delivered, whatever, that is also going to reduce food waste too, because then there was no temptation even when you were in the supermarket to deviate from that plan. So that is a real bonus. And obviously that in turn saves you money because you're not wasting food. And the fun thing is that you can also review all of these meals that you've planned for yourself and ensure that you're getting a balanced variety of meals throughout the week, because that is so important for nutrition and for a balanced way of eating, is just getting a wide variety of different veggies, of protein sources, and of good fats like nuts and seeds. And yeah, it's one of the best, easiest ways that you can take care of your health and ensure you're getting lots of micronutrients too. Plus, although this does require a little bit of organization, it can actually be really fun. And if you enjoy any sort of, you know, organization and planning type A personality stuff, then you will get a kick out of this. Some other benefits too, it obviously condenses the amount of time that you're spending in the kitchen. It's a more efficient way to cook and clean. And it does make life just that little bit easier and less stressful during the week. Of course, though, like, you know, if you've ever done meal prepping before, you're going to know these disadvantages too. Sometimes you will get bored of the same meals. So just know yourself, and going back to that point about making sure that you're cooking things that you really like and enjoy, make sure that you are giving yourself enough variety. And so you're not necessarily eating the same meal for dinner at lunch the next day. Or say, for me, I really like to have I like to have a different dinner to the lunch that I'm eating the next day, or I certainly don't want to have the same dinner, lunch, dinner three times in a row. You know, like, I like to be able to break it up a bit, and with really broad range of flavors too. So I might have like a Mexican inspired meal and then something that's like Italian, or so, like, for example, a TVP bolognese, which is a high protein vegan bolognese. It's like a mincemeat substitute with pasta, maybe a bit of cashew parmesan. And then the next day, maybe I'm having, I don't know, black bean tacos or something with guacamole and lime and fresh coriander, and totally different flavor profiles is what I'm trying to say. And if you can add in some fresh texture with like crunchy lettuce or some fresh veggies that you might have pre-cut up but not mixed together, then that will also add a bit of excitement to your meals. Texture is so important. And I think when it does come to that batch cooking in advance, try to think about some quick fresh ingredients that you can top maybe a curry with, like toasted cashews to add a bit of crunch, anything that's going to make it less sludgy, because I think that's another thing that people find hard when they're meal prepping and getting towards the end of the week. They're like, oh, like all these textures it's too soft, even though normally you would think, oh, it's the flavor that's putting you off. It can actually be the texture. So do keep that in mind too. The only other hard thing as well is that it does require a certain level of commitment. If you go out and buy all of these ingredients and then you don't actually follow through and make the recipes that you intended to do, then you're in a worse position because you've spent more money potentially that you, or sorry, rather you're going to have more food waste because you didn't stick to the plan. So it does require you to set time aside on a Sunday or Saturday or Monday or whenever it is the day before your week begins work-wise. It does require that level of commitment. Otherwise, it can all go a bit pear-shaped. Another tip too that I would add is that it can be really helpful to invest in the right storage. So have the Tupperware containers on hand that are the correct size. Maybe have some smaller ones that you can use for dressings. Jars are amazing as a leak-proof thing that you can take into work. So save those when you finish a jar of, you know, a jam jar or something like that. Think about slow cooked meals if you are looking for passive cooking, because as I was saying, it can be a bit of a time commitment on that day before you start work and you may not want to actually spend your whole day cooking. So maybe it is just about boiling some potatoes or roasting some veggies or throwing a few things in the slow cooker like a lentil curry or something like that, or a pressure cooker if you like to cook your beans from dried. And just start out small and test out a few recipes. There's nothing worse than if you've made like this gigantic pot of like some stew and you're like, this is disgusting. And you've spent, you know, X amount of time and money making it and it was a new recipe and you're like, oh my God, I don't like it. So I would try and think of recipes that you already know and are confident making and know that you like before you make a big batch of any of them. Also, if you're a real variety person and you just hate the idea of eating the same things throughout the week, try prepping breakfast or lunch instead of dinner, because I think it's at dinner time that we're really craving that bookmark to mark the end of the day. We want something that feels a little bit more special. It's generally the bigger meal of the day, even though, you know, maybe lunch should be the bigger meal because of the way that we're spending our energy throughout the day, but that's a different conversation. But try prepping breakfast or lunch as a starting point if you still want to keep that variety at dinner time. Now, the other thing that you can do to help yourself eat healthier or stick to a meal plan is just having a repertoire of pantry staple meals and snacks that you know that you can make really quickly and easily. Things that are made from like shelf stable pantry items or frozen foods. And again, make sure they're things you actually really want to eat. I always think of mock meats in this scenario because there are some healthier ones out there that can be really convenient and just a little maybe more expensive than some of the more whole food plant-based options that you could be cooking, but super easy to whip up and just throw some veggies on the side and you are good to go with a plant-based source of protein. But some other examples of meals that would fit this bill would be like the TVP chili. So that's textured vegetable protein. For those who don't know, it's a very cheap pantry staple that vegans often use. It's a soy that's been dehydrated into granules and it rehydrates with a bit of water and soy sauce. And well, you can just use water, but I like to add soy sauce for an umami flavor. And it replicates mince meat. So you can use it in the same way that you would use beef mince. You can use canned foods. So anything that's legume based, like curries, falafels, soups, you know, other convenience products as well, not just mock meats, things like baked beans, muesli bars, maybe even protein powders, which are a great snack if you're just looking for something to fill you up mid morning or mid afternoon or after a workout. And chia pudding, like I was saying earlier, that's one of my favorite brekkies. I like to blend it up so that it's a mousse and it's got that dessert kind of a little bit more aerated kind of consistency. Smoothies, you can even pre-portion out some fruit into like sandwich bags in the freezer or freezer bags, and then you've got that ready to go so that your favorite flavor combinations are all done and you don't even have to think about it. It's all just these ways of removing barriers and making it as fast as possible, and that the default option for you rather than turning to other convenience products which don't help you meet your nutrition goals. And I just want to add a caveat to this as well too. Like I was saying at the start, how I've been eating more for comfort lately. There's nothing wrong with any of this. I've done some episodes as well if you are curious about the psychology behind eating and even binging on foods too. Go back and listen to some of the ones I've done with Steph Giorgio. She's an amazing psychologist who specializes in eating disorders. And she's always says this, there's nothing wrong with comfort food, with having a little bit of an emotional eat occasionally, because as long as it's not affecting your day-to-day life, as long as it's not causing you any distress, it's not causing you any health problems, then that's fine. It's actually totally okay not just to eat food to purely fuel our bodies. Food is, you know, it's a complex topic, right? It has a lot of cultural significance, a lot of personal significance. We attach emotion to it. We attach memories to it. Think of birthday cakes or seasonal foods like Easter, you know, hot cross buns, stuff like that. So a little bit of emotional eating is totally fine. I guess I just wanted to do this episode because for me, it's getting to a point where I'm not actually feeling my best and I'm just recognizing this behavior and wanting to find ways to make it easier to feel better. So please don't misinterpret, I guess, what I'm trying to say about emotional eating at the start. A little bit of emotional eating is totally fine, and also just eating for pleasure, totally fine too. There is always room for dessert or a treat or just eating for enjoyment in a healthy diet. So if you are in the same boat as me and you are looking to review your nutrition and make sure that the food that you are eating is actually fueling you well throughout the day, then I hope this has been a useful episode. Just as a little recap, meal planning and prep can just make you so much more time efficient in the kitchen. It can help you enjoy your meals more, but make sure you're doing it in that format that works for you. And if that is a combo of, say, meal prep and ingredient prep, that often works really well because it's going to allow you to have those fresh textures throughout the week, maybe some crunchiness to your meals, as well as a few handy microwavable softer meals like a curry or maybe a stew or a soup too. It just makes our lives so much easier. And I know, like for me with a little Ollie now, it's just a form of self-care in a way by having these meals done in advance. But just remember, it's going to take some experimentation. There's probably going to be some meals that maybe you don't necessarily love and you don't include in your next meal plan. But you know what? It's all a learning experience. Try to start off with meals that you know that you really enjoy so it doesn't put you off. And if you do try this, I would recommend trying it out for a few weeks and sticking to a similar template or format in the way that you're working. I am going to be sending out meal plans weekly as well if you do want to see what I'm eating and how I'm planning my week. So you can sign up for that on my email list, and you can even make the recipes, tag me on Instagram if you want me to reshare them. I love seeing what you are making. It's always inspiring to me too. And yeah, I just want to share those, I guess, as a way to connect us all and give you some inspiration as to how you can eat plant-based and make sure that you're getting all of those important macronutrients like protein, carbs, and fats into your diet, having balanced meals, and getting a variety of foods throughout the week. So sign up to my email if you want to see those. But whatever you do, stick to a template or a consistent format that works for you. Mix it up, experiment, make foods you actually like, and it can be really fun. Wish me luck on getting back to this. I know that I'm going to feel so much better when I'm getting all of my nutrition down pat again. It's been a bit of a survival mode for the last couple of months, and I'm keen to feel like I'm thriving again. So hope this was helpful. Have a lovely week, and I will speak to you soon. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Thrive Diaries podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you could leave a star rating on Spotify or a written review on Apple Podcasts. And this is really the best way to support the show because it improves our ranking in the algorithm. If you'd like more updates, be sure to follow me over on Instagram at vegandiaries with 3 underscores on the end, or join my mailing list on my website, vegan-diaries.com. Thank you so much for being here, and I will speak to you soon.